Well, welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast. I'm here with Dr. Bobby Conway. My name is Tim Hall, and we are discussing a new series on doctrine and the importance of the Christian doctrine to the endeavor of apologetics.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, we are jumping into this 8-part series where we're going to use the letters and the word doctrine to kind of lay out some of the foundational pieces of the Christian doctrine. This is a very important part of being an apologist, is to just understand the core pieces of the Christian doctrine. Bobby, can you explain to us what the D in this doctrine is?
Yeah, sure, Tim. I'd want to say, too, to those who might be leery of an acrostic, we just see this as a mnemonic device that's able to help people to be able to, you know, hang their hat on some of the things that we're sharing with them so that they can learn it. The D would stand for the deity and humanity of Christ. And so part of the Christian church and being evangelical would be to buy into the fact that Jesus is both divine and human.
So let's unpack that a little bit more. What are some of the things that we could point to, particularly in scripture or in history of the Christian church, that would help us develop that doctrine of both deity and man? Because it seems like we're saying that God is 200%, that Jesus is 200%. He's 100% man and 100% God. How do we deal with that?
Well, we would want to say that he's fully man, fully God, fully human, fully divine. But we would also want to be careful that we distinguish between his human nature and his divine nature. God is one God, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, in a sense, Jesus existed before he existed. Now, that sounds heretical, I know, so let me clarify. He existed as the second person of the Trinity before he assumed his human nature. His human nature he took on in time through his incarnation. And so, with his human nature, we realize that he was subject to tiredness, hunger. He understood what it was like to be tempted in all of our ways, yet without sin, as we see in the book of Hebrews. We know that he slept and took naps and, you know, like I said, he ate, he drank, he fellowshipped, he grew in wisdom, knowledge, and stature. But his divine nature was not compromised at all in taking on his humanity. But rather, what happened was, is he assumed a human nature without forfeiting his divine rights. And so he, as the second person of the Trinity, still held fast to his omnipotence, his omniscience, and so on and so forth. It gets mysterious, though, how it all works together in those two natures.
Help me understand some of the, why is this such a dividing line between some of the other religious organizations or cults that are out there? I'm thinking Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, even the Muslims would deny the deity of Christ. Why is this such an issue? Why is this the first letter and one of the foundational pieces?
Well, I think that the person of Jesus in particular has been, you know, the topic of greater discussion than any other figure in human history. I mean, you've got those like Richard Carrier today, who's a Jesus mythicist, and would say he never even existed. You get the New Agers who will say, you know what, Jesus existed as a human in history, but he was the first to become the Christ, and we too can become a Christ. And so they distinguish between the Jesus and the Christ. You'll get people like Jehovah's Witnesses, they're basically modern-day Arianists. And Arians were those who believed that Jesus was the first created being. And so we believe that Jesus was not a created being. Rather, he assumed a human nature, but he existed eternally as God. Muslims would see Jesus as a great prophet. Some would say he's a guru. What is a guru? A guru is somebody who leads somebody out of darkness into the light. But he was so much more than that. And so a lot was going on in the early church with the Gnostics. I mean, you had the Nestorians who were trying to say that Jesus is two persons. You had the Ebionites who were trying to say that he was fully human and not God. You had the Docetists, from the Greek word dokeo, to seem, appear, saying that he was all, divine, but he just appeared to be human. Mm. So you had all this going on in the early church as they were trying to figure this out, who is Christ? It took some time to hash this out theologically. And so we owe a great debt to the Nicene Creed and the Chalcedonian Creed and some of these ancient creeds that help us understand these dual natures of Jesus.
Would you say that it's one of the things that I know I've heard before is saying that, well, the doctrine didn't come about until then, but you've just clearly laid out that there was some discrepancies. And so maybe it was kind of codified or it was solidified in that. Would you agree with that sentiment? What happened in that?
Yeah, I think what's happening, even with apologetics, Tim, as you know, we get in these situations where we're not looking to do apologetics, right? In heaven, there's not going to be apologetics. It's to give a defense. It's not until we're put in a position that we're put on the defense that we need to give a defense. And so some of these early Christological heresies that were developing probably just spawn out of just thought. People were thinking about Jesus, and what would end up happening is you hang out with the apostles or those closely associated, and as they were going over the scriptures, they were just trying to put all this together. And what you see with Jesus is there's lots of verses. Like he'd say, I and the Father are one. Well, he's ontologically saying, I and the Father are one in John 10:29, because in verse 30, it says they picked up stones to stone him. So that was, you know, a claim of divinity. He said, also, before Abraham was, I am, in John 8:58. Well, in verse 59, they wanted to stone him. Why? Because he was making an essential claim of divinity. So before Abraham was, I am. So what's he saying is, I existed before I existed. I existed as the second person of the Trinity before I came in my incarnation.
So I think that gives us a better picture of kind of the foundational piece of the deity of Jesus Christ and also him being fully human. So there are more resources about that. It goes into some more detail. Some of our videos are dealing with this. I remember way back in the archives, I think it was actually video number 3 that you did that talks about Jesus being a created being. Was Jesus a created being is kind of the title of the video, and it responds specifically to that claim and gives some more detail than we just gave right here. So go ahead and check that video out. And there's also a number of other videos on this particular topic on the website, oneminuteapologist.com. If you enjoyed this episode, we would invite you to give it a 5-star rating on iTunes or share it and subscribe on Podbean or one of the other websites that you get your podcasts. And we're excited to bring you the next letter in our doctrine series, The O, next time.